Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. All of you who have survived the Thanksgiving holiday and are here this morning, coming through the Thanksgiving time, the idea for this devotional came to me in that we almost always talk about things that we are thankful for, and there are lots of things mentioned. And it got me thinking, you know, what am I really thankful for? And I came back to forgiveness of sin as being one of the greatest. And so I started thinking about that, and then the following devotional came. I wrote down some notes. And this is an area that I have struggled in personally. And if there's anybody else that has, maybe you will appreciate it. And if those of you that have not struggled in this area, may the Lord continue blessing you. Thank Him for that. I want to talk a little bit about the areas of past mistakes and sin in our life, past sins that have been forgiven, but sometimes Satan comes to us and suggests that they have not been forgiven. We have all heard the saying, experience is the best teacher. And I don't quite agree with that. Experience is the most thorough teacher, but instruction is the best teacher. Experience is what we get when we make mistakes. We all make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. And mistakes aren't always sin, but sin is always a mistake. If we would always listen to instruction, godly instruction, we wouldn't make any. Well, we wouldn't make many mistakes. We probably would still make a few because we are human. A quote, there are some things you can't learn at any university except for one, the University of Life, the only college where everybody is a student. So we have to keep that in mind too. But these past mistakes shouldn't bog us down in our Christian life. Another quote, if we let go of the past, we will never learn from our mistakes. In other words, if we forget everything, we would never learn from those past mistakes. And also, I am who I am today because of the mistakes I made yesterday. And again, I would rephrase that to say how we respond to those mistakes can shape and mold us. And we could view this either positively or negatively. However we respond will affect us in a negative way. We want to choose to think on the positive side. If we acknowledge our mistakes, we can learn from them and grow. We cannot learn and grow if we are in denial or refuse to admit making a mistake. Now, I have heard Leroy say that if we can't be a good example, we have to be a horrible warning. At the age of 88, Glenn Wolfe died alone in Los Angeles. The paper said that no one came to claim his body. He was buried in an unmarked grave, but Glenn Wolfe held the Guinness Book of Records as the most married man in the world. 29 times he was asked, "Do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? Forsaking all others, do you pledge yourself only to her so long as you both shall live?" 29 times Glenn Wolfe said, "I do," but he never quite remembered. He died leaving behind children, grandchildren, ex-wives, and innumerable ex-in-laws, and still he died alone. I'm not going to dwell on this negative story, but I thought it was just a classic example of not building on your past mistakes and learning and going from them, just repeating the same mistake over and over. Now, I'm not saying the first time he got married was a mistake, but all the other 29 times probably were. Paul is a great example of recognizing his past for what it was, and then moving on, building his life and moving on through the power of Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 1, Verse 12, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." You know, it doesn't sound like Paul did not forget the things that he had done or the things that he had been involved in. He freely admitted them and moved on. And that's what we want to do. It was a daily reminder to him, I believe, of what Jesus had done in his life. Many Christians struggle under a crushing sense of shame and guilt because of their past sins. They just can't let go. Satan can use those memories to defeat you. God's forgiveness does seem too good to be true. After all, our fellow human beings don't forgive us very easily. Many of them hold grudges, sometimes for years. We also have a hard time forgiving others who have hurt us sometimes. But God is not like us. His forgiveness of our sins washes us completely clean in the blood of Jesus. If we confess, repent, and turn away from that sin, we can rest assured that God has forgiven us. We have nothing to feel guilty about. It is time to move on. After we have dealt with that sin, we must move on. We must focus on what is true, noble, and good, and resist the temptation to dwell on our wrong actions or past failures. Believers, we have been made new creatures in Christ. When the Lord forgives us, those old sins are as far from us as the east is from the west. They are nailed to the cross, dead and buried and gone. If God forgives us, we should not refuse to forgive ourselves. And that can be an important thing, too. We have to forgive ourselves. And the thing that helped me more than anything almost was the thought that Christ loved me while I was still a sinner. Before I was saved, he loved me. Our feelings are not facts. Just because we still feel guilty doesn't always mean we are. We have to take God at his word when he says we are forgiven. If we still feel guilty after our sins have been forgiven, that's not the Holy Spirit speaking, but our own emotions can speak to us, or Satan is making us feel bad. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth is Christ died for our sins, setting us free of guilt now and forever." And I'm so thankful for that. I'm going to read just a portion out of Romans 7, starting in verse 15. This is Paul speaking again. "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is my members." And then he kind of sums it all up. "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And I'm glad he didn't stop there. In verse 25, he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." And then chapter 8, verse 1, which has been my theme verse many times. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And today, this morning, I am thankful for that. Let's kneel for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We're thankful to you as the giver of all things and the giver of life. We're thankful to you for all those things. But we're especially thankful to you this morning for redeeming us, for forgiving our sins, Lord, that you have promised to be our guide and shepherd for the rest of our days. If we are faithful to you, Lord, we just pray that you would be with us today. Be with each heart here and give that which is needed to each one. Lord, we praise you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Marvin, for those thoughts, for reminding us of the magnitude of forgiveness of God. This brings us to our Sunday school hour now. The teachers teaching in the basement may be excused for their classes. Preschool and primary students may follow. And juniors and intermediates. For the adults, the Sunday school lesson this week is Philippians 1, 12 through 20. Stephen Yoder's class will be going to George Compton's today. You may be excused for your classes.